Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, April 26th, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
And I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Hockey.
Grace, we have survived. I mean, more accurately, you have survived holding on, hopefully with some sleep in sight. But we have now gotten through all 754 different Broadway openings of the 2023-2024 Broadway season. We have two that opened on Thursday night, Mother Play and The Great Gatsby. We will dive into those reviews here momentarily. But with the end of the season, we are going to have a ton of new content. I've done some interviews that's coming up over in the Patreon feed. I'm going to be chatting with our mutual friend Ashley Hufford to preview the Tony nominations and make some predictions about Tony nominations this weekend. So that'll be coming up in the feeds as well. If you want to hear all of this before anybody else, as well as all of the Patreon exclusive episodes, head to patreon.com/BroadwayRadio, broadwayradio.com/Patreon. Now, as I said, Grace, two shows opened on Thursday night. I'm not sure if they had an order in terms of when their official openings were, but in terms of when the reviews came out, we will do them chronologically. That means we will start over at the Helen Hayes Theater with Paula Vogel's new play, Mother Play. It actually has a subtitle of Mother Play, A Play in Five Evictions, which I hadn't really seen used all that much until this week. So that's kind of interesting. It is currently scheduled to run through Tony Sunday, but again, with all of these shows, especially in the not-for-profit houses, extensions are certainly possible. Directed by Tina Landau, the show is a three-hander, and it stars some absolutely great theater and screen names as well. The show stars Jessica Lange as Phyllis. Her two children are played by Jim Parsons as Carl and Celia Keenan-Bolger as Martha. As will be discussed in a lot of these reviews, most, if not all, of Paula Vogel's plays are in some way autobiographical, and this is very much based on her life. So Jessica Lange essentially plays her mother, not necessarily literally, but in many different figurative ways she does. In the plot description, it is described this way. It's 1962, just outside of DC, and matriarch Phyllis is supervising her teenage children, Carl and Martha, as they move into a new apartment. Phyllis has strong ideas about what her children need to do and be to succeed, and woe be the child who finds their own path. Bolstered by gin and cigarettes, the family endures, or survives, the changing world around them. Blending flares of imaginative theatricality, surreal farce, and deep tenderness, this beautiful roller coaster ride reveals timeless truths of love, family, and forgiveness. Now, Grace, before we started recording, we were just kind of talking about some of the musicals that you've seen. Have you seen this play yet?
No, but I have worked across sending some people. I am dying to see it. I need the mother hat. I obviously am a massive Paula Vogel fan, so
right, exactly.
I'd be very excited to see it. But no, I've not. But the feedback I've gotten from the people that have gone have been that they were deeply moved by the piece.
Yeah, absolutely. We know how much you love and idolize Paula Vogel, so I wasn't sure if you'd had a chance to check it out. But the reviews are mostly pretty good. As of recording time, Did They Like It has recorded 11 reviews. 7 were positive, 4 were mixed. We will start with Alexa Solosky, writing for the New York Times, who made the show a critic's pick. She said, quote, Vogel, 72, has spent the majority of her career unpacking. Her work is not strictly autobiographical, but as in the plays of Tennessee Williams, Edward Albee, and Adrian Kennedy, she has a canny way of rearranging the emotional furniture of her lived experience into tragicomedy. She continues, the characters age perhaps more than 40 years in the play's 105 minutes. Another actress as Phyllis might have done more to communicate the small ravages of time, but Lange concentrates instead on her ageless ferocity and charm. She is supported, sturdily, by Keenan-Bolger, who imbues Martha, a playwright like Vogel, with goodness, righteousness, and a gift for plain speaking, and by Parsons, a born clown savvy enough to show the pain behind the buffoonery. Solosky spoils a little bit in here, some of that involving the buffoonery that she just mentioned. So I'm going to skip over exactly the details of that, but it serves to illustrate some of the silliness in the play. So she says, quote, silliness has always been a signature of Vogel's work and, at least for me, sometimes a source of frustration. Reading her early plays, I have thought, can't you be serious? But Vogel, who loves a dirty joke, knows that laughter is a way of taking things seriously. Sometimes, the best way. 30 or so years ago, Vogel told a reporter, quote, I like theater that makes me feel like it's a healing. That's what Mother Play is, a balm that comes in cardboard boxes and packing tape. It honors the dead by making them alive again and nurtures the living by providing a place to put a daughter's love and rage. Martha's box is not Pandora's. It's just another way of organizing life. We'll go over to Aramide Tanubu, who reviewed the show for Variety and was also positive, saying, quote, "Still, despite its imperfections, Mother Play is a genuinely engaging examination of a family trying to find equilibrium. It honors the glimmers and low points of mothering and explains why, in some cases, the role is transposed onto those who were never called to it in the first place." Next up, Tim Tiemann, writing for the Daily Beast, was mixed, saying, quote, "But mostly, Mother Play feels a cold, airless, and puzzling tundra to orienteer, despite the can-this-be-happening electricity of watching Jessica Lange perform on stage." And why don't we wrap up with Adam Feldman of Time Out New York, who gave the show 4 out of 5 stars, writing, quote, "Bringing decades of experience to bear, Lange is riveting, and so, by extension, is Phyllis. In this painfully honest tribute, Phyllis's pain is part of the picture. Vogel does her mother dirty, but she does her mother proud." So, Grace, as we look back and wrap up all of these shows now, we have not yet gotten reviews for Illinois, as we talked about on yesterday's show, but everything else we have. To me, and I'm not going to put you on the spot since this is, you know, it might be a conflict of interest with some of your day job stuff, I feel like this one has slotted itself into the best play nominations, and I feel like I have my 5 play nominations. Do you think that there is going to be anything crazy in that category that might kind of upset the apple cart in terms of what might be expected?
I don't think so. I think that, you know, you put that kind of team together and you bring it in and it's a strong piece. Like, why wouldn't it be considered? You know, I think that like Vogel's work has been like everyone anticipates it, right? And I think that like with Appropriate being considered a revival, because I'm kind of like putting them in similar camps, it kind of poises it better to be a new play consideration and not a revival, like in terms of Appropriate. So I think that that's how it stacks now, is that Mother Play probably enters the race here.
Yeah, and I think what it comes down to me, I feel like after the reviews for Mary Jane, that's a lock. I think the reviews for Stereophonic we had are a lock. And even though this has been closed for a couple months at this point, I feel like Prayer for the French Republic is also a lock. So depending on the reviews here for Mother Play, I wasn't sure where we... No, you know, that's... Okay, that's why I was asking for a sense of price. Do you think Prayer for a French Republic might not be a lock?
No, I don't think... I think that Mary Jane and Prayer are neck and neck. And I think that Yaya's African Hair Braiding has to enter that race. If it's not, I think that that's really challenging.
Well, we're going to get 5 nominees. So I have it right now as Mary Jane, Mother Play, Prayer for the French Republic, Stereophonic, and Jia Jia's African Hair Braiding. I had Patriots. I was waiting on the Patriots reviews to kind of see where that slots in, because I haven't seen Patriots yet. I'll see it next week. But I feel like those reviews weren't strong enough. So I feel like it's probably the one on the outside. And of course, there are other contenders, but I feel like those are my 5. Jia Jia's, Mary Jane, Mother Play, French Republic, and Stereophonic. I feel like that is as solid of a category as I feel confident in right now in picking all of the nominees.
You know what? Outer Critic Circle said shark is broken, so I'm throwing it back in at all times. Let my shark live. It's not broken, damn it.
I am an Outer Critic Circle voter, so maybe that will be where my pick goes for that one when I get the ballot here in a couple weeks. All right, let's move over to the other show that opened on Thursday night, and that, of course, is The Great Gatsby. It is currently running at the Gargantuan Broadway Theater. It is directed by Mark Bruni. It features a book by Kate Carrigan, music by Jason Howland, and lyrics by Nathan Tyson. Of course, this is based off of the F. Scott Fitzgerald novel of the same name. Of course, this is not to be confused with the upcoming American Repertory Theater world premiere production of Gatsby that features a book by Martina Mayock and music, at least in part, by Florence Welsh of Florence and the Machine, and is being directed by Rachel Chavkin and choreographed by Sonia Tyson. That one will almost certainly be on Broadway next season. In this cast, it is led by Jeremy Jordan as Jay Gatsby, Eva Noblezada as Daisy Buchanan, Eric Anderson as Meyer Wolfsheim, who was not part of the cast at Paper Mill. Sarah Chase plays Myrtle Wilson. Samantha Polly plays Jordan Baker. Noah J. Ricketts is Nick Carraway. Paul Whitty is George Wilson. John Zdrojewski plays Tom Buchanan. And while it was not out when we started recording, now we do have the review aggregator site Did They Like Its review roundup for the show. They have collected 8 reviews. 1 was positive, 5 were mixed, and 3 were negative. And let's start with Laura Collins Hughes's review for the New York Times. She was mixed. She said, quote, "The darker elements of The Great Gatsby prove more elusive, which blunts the overall impact. So does the show's anodyne Broadway sound, which is poppy and pleasant without being memorable. It summons neither the jazz age, like the soundtrack of Jack Clayton's 1974 movie adaptation did, nor a spirit of wild abandon, like the soundtrack to Baz Luhrmann's 2013 take. The score to this Great Gatsby is missing a vital urgency." She continues, "Bruni's Broadway production has the tremendous asset of a terrific core cast." She then discusses Ricketts, Polly, and Zdrojewski. Then she continues saying, quote, "Nobilzada and Polly are easy with humor, and Kerrigan has taken care to deepen Daisy and Jordan, who, with their talk of the limitations of life for women, sound practically suffs adjacent. Nobilzada gives Daisy steel at her center that further ensures she isn't a manic pixie dream girl, even if the incurably dreamy Gatsby perceives her through gauze. This Great Gatsby, which is not terribly bothered with the moral shadings of its title character's rise and fall, is principally interested in a good time. When Nick utters the novel's sober final line about boats against the current, the words have no heft. An ensemble of dancers is upstaging him anyway, wanting to give the audience one last moment at the party." Sarah Holdren was negative reviewing the show for Vulture, saying, quote, "Under Mark Bruni's jazz hands happy direction, this Gatsby feels like it belongs on a cruise or in a theme park. It would make a good fit if Epcot's pavilions expanded to include time periods as well as countries. Poor James Gatz, victim of his own disguise. A century on, retellers of his story, like his hordes of party guests, remain distracted by the spectacle. Here, Bruni and his designers lean into the roaring garishness, almost to the point of cartoon." Emmeline Travis gave the show a C+ in Entertainment Weekly, writing, quote, "Those attending Great Gatsby expecting nothing more than a glitzy, glamorous romp through the roaring 20s will find themselves satisfied. But others hoping to find a deeper take on the novel's exploration of the American dream, old money versus new money, and love will find themselves feeling adrift. The Great Gatsby is a great big Broadway extravaganza that may dazzle viewers at first, but, much like The Green Light, perfection remains close, yet just out of reach." Let's wrap up with Adam Feldman of Time Out New York, who gave the show 3 out of 5 stars, writing, quote, "The Great Gatsby looks great. If you want production values, this adaptation of F. Scott Fitzgerald's 1924 novel directed by Mark Bruni delivers more than any other new musical of the overstuffed Broadway season. It's the roaring 20s, after all, now as well as then. So why not be loud?" Grace, again, we don't have the reviews for Illinois yet, but with these reviews for Gatsby now in, I don't feel confident about what my 5 predictions are yet for Best Musical. I have a few that I feel like are locks. And again, I haven't seen a number of them. I haven't seen Illinois. I haven't seen The Heart of Rock and Roll. And I haven't seen Gatsby on Broadway yet. But like, I feel like there is still the possibility for surprises in this category. While I think that there are some that are probably locks at this point, maybe 1 or 2, maybe 3, I feel like everything else around the edges to get us to 5, really, there's a lot of horse racing and maneuvering that could push us to that final total on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I agree with you. Who knows? It really is a fun, crazy time. I have my chaotic faves. Like, I have... some like, what if this happened? But I think that everyone's just fighting for their relevancy. And I think that I feel like I'm a little broken record on it. But, you know, when we're looking at the landscape of things, like we need as an industry, I'm a little heartless in this moment to say that, like, if there's something that is bringing in or could bring in tourism, lovely. Also have those artistic giants, also have those little darlings. But I think that we need a variety to be represented in those categories. I do not want them to reflect things that may not need the nomination. If you're a nominator and you're listening, and you're between 2 things, and one of those things has, you know, a great advance, and then the other thing had mixed to positive reviews, but would need this bump,
give the nomination to the thing that needs the bump. What are you talking about? You know, you could extend the life of a show by several months, maybe even a year with that. I am hopeful that things will feel equitable. They never are, and you never know. But I think that because it's such a chaotic time, we really need to see where everyone's head is at. You know, is it going to be a year where they're saying, you know, screw all this, I don't like your commercial stuff the way that, you know, a lot of people, a lot of the reviews looked for Cabaret. You know, you had a lot of people kind of railing against the system. And then on the other hand, you had people saying like, you know, oh, this is so beautiful and timely, et cetera, et cetera. So you never know. I have no idea what's going to happen. I cannot wait for Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I've had this conversation with a couple of people recently. Like, I feel like this season as a whole has had a pretty good batting average. Like, I think there's been a lot of very good shows. I don't know that there's been a lot of home runs. Maybe in some of the play categories, there's been more home runs than musicals. But I think, you know, in total, that this season has been probably better than I anticipated it would be collectively. And while there might not be like the one or two things that are like mind-blowingly great, I think there's a lot of really good shows, a couple great shows, maybe nothing that rises above that, but I think that makes for a more interesting award season where we don't have a lot of runaway winners. Like last year, we all knew that Kimberly Akimbo was going to win. And I don't think we have that in the musicals category this year. I don't think we have that in the plays category. I think we probably have that in the best revival of a musical category, but we don't have it in the best revival of a play category either. So I think like it's going to be a really interesting award season between now and June 16th. All right, let's run through some real quick news. First off, speaking of award season, we found out that next Tuesday morning, two of Broadway's favorites, Jesse Tyler Ferguson and Renee Elise Goldsberry, will be announcing the Tony nominations. It will happen first with select categories on CBS mornings at 8:30 a.m., and then the full nomination broadcast will begin at 9 a.m. via the Tony Awards YouTube channel, so we can check that out there. We also found out that Mary Jane, which we talked about just a few minutes ago, has extended. It will now run for an extra couple weeks over at the Samuel J. Friedman Theater. It was originally supposed to close on June 2nd. It will now play through Tony Sunday, if not longer, June 16th. Next up, yesterday we got a number of bits of news about shows that are happening out of town. First up, the cast for the upcoming world premiere musical The Ballad of Johnny and June, happening at the La Jolla Playhouse, was announced. This is being directed by Tony Award winner Des McAnuff, and in it, Christopher Ryan Grant will play Johnny Cash, Patty Murin will play June Carter Cash, Van Hughes will play John Carter Cash, their son. We will have the complete cast announcement in the show notes. The musical is going to be running from May 28th through June 7th. Then we just had a new Adam Gettle musical on Broadway after more than a decade since his last piece. Next season, there will be another new Adam Gettle musical. This one is called Millions, and it'll make its world premiere at the Alliance Theater in Atlanta. It features a book by the great Bob Martin. Of course, music and lyrics are by Adam Gettle. It is based on the novel and film by Frank Cottrell Boyce, and it follows two brothers who, while dealing with the loss of their mother, discover a duffel bag full of cash. The show is currently scheduled to play the Alliance from May 10th through June 15th of 2025. It'll be directed by Bartlett Shear. And then heading from Atlanta to St. Louis, yesterday the initial casting was announced for the Muni's upcoming production of Dreamgirls, which will take place from June 27th through July 3rd. The cast will feature Tiffany Mann as Effie, the great Aisha Jackson as Dina, Courtney Carter as Laurel, Charles Brown as Curtis Taylor Jr., Nick Rashad Burrows as Jimmy Thunder Early, Ron Himes as Marty, Aramy Payton as C.C. White, Rob Clater as Wayne, and Natalie K. Clater as Michelle Morris. More casting will be announced at a later date. And then finally, Grace, a show that we know that you love tremendously, our feel-good recommendation today is going to be a performance by the always wonderful Tamika Lawrence. She sang the song The Power of Love from the Heart of Rock and Roll on Sherry Shepherd's show Sherry earlier this week. So we have a video. Anytime you can hear Tamika Lawrence sing anything, you should definitely take advantage of that. But this is a really cool, somewhat stripped down performance of The Power of Love, which I'm assuming is different than how it's performed in the show. So if you haven't seen that, check it out. And if you haven't seen the show, get over to the James Earl Jones Theater and see The Heart of Rock and Roll. Grace, I'm sure you have been taken by Tamika's performance on more than one occasion.
I would die for her. I love that woman. I think that what she brings is so, pardon the phrase, powerful. She could do any role in this show, and I'm not being funny. I would see her Bobby. I would see her Cassandra. I would see her in the role she's in now. I'd see her as Mr. Stone. I'd see her as Bjorn. Like, I don't care. She's just insane, and I don't know how she's not a household name. I'm hoping that, I mean, goodness, she's a Grammy Award winner. Like, I don't know. But you know what? Watch her on the Sherry Shepherd Show. She's great.
All right, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio. And you can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Grace, where can people find you?
You can find me at It's Grace Aki.
All right, everybody. Have a wonderful Friday, a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back to talk to you on Monday.